Let's talk.
This is Digital Life.
The purpose of the Bureau is to implement the Nigeria Data Protection Regulation.
How do you ensure that third-party places that are not the individuals who registered cannot access that information?
Somebody going out to take a loan from a company and then you don't read the details.
Inventors and inventions.
John, Emmanuel says you designed the phone you're using at the moment. Is that true?
Yes, that's true. I designed a phone called Mi 40 Pro. 512 gigabyte internal memory and then 12 gig RAM.
Wow.
Tech heads and data.
There are some applications, when you are making use of them, they will tell you for permission access to your phone. Some of these applications actually record your voice conversations. It's also part of their terms and conditions.
Join us on Digital Life every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 12 noon, only on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk. Welcome to Digital Life with Emmanuel Onwuka and Yvonne Ohaifo.
The biggest thing we can do is just maintain the status quo, meaning not evaluating yourself, improving on your skills, not following trends, not preparing for tomorrow. You don't want to take that risk. Emmanuel, why would you do this to me? Why would you turn me into a motivational speaker?
So last week, you laughed at me when I was doing my motivational speaking. Today is my day. Ah, this clown back is
good. Emmanuel, goodness gracious. Emmanuel, like you got me there. I've not even finished it yet.
Go on.
Okay. Times are changing and we are here to get you prepared. This is Digital Life. Welcome to the number one tech and innovation show on radio. I'm Yvonne Ohaifo. You know that. As always, Emmanuel and I hold it down here every Sunday. Emmanuel.
Well done.
Emmanuel, I will get back at you. Don't worry.
Good morning, Lagos, and welcome to Digital Life. As you know, this is where, or rather, this is the foremost tech show on the radio.
Indeed.
And we're happy to be here to bring it back to you, you know, conversations on technology and how you can transition to a smart life. As you already know, my name is Emmanuel Onwuka, and on this show, we have a segment we also call Tech of the Week, where we introduce you to new and exciting indigenous technologies.
That's right. Last Sunday, we were meant to have a conversation about an indigenous innovation in solar energy, but due to network challenges, we just couldn't do it. Well, we'll have that conversation again today. Thankfully, he will be here with us in the flesh.
Yeah.
And of course, in the blood.
Yeah, so I'm very glad about that. You know, last Sunday, we couldn't just do it because everything was just totally down.
Yes.
And he just reached out. I was like, you know what? I'm going to come live to the studio. I'm like, you don't need to go. He's like, no, don't worry. I'll be here.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really excited, you know, coming all the way from Port Harcourt to join us, to be here to share his knowledge and to tell us about his invention. But before we get into all that conversation, we have a conversation that we're first going to do for the first segment of the show.
That's right.
We've been talking about blockchain technology and, you know, the question has always been, is it on in the database? That has always been the question. Is it in the database? Do you have it in data? Are you connected to the internet? Do you have a website? But according to an international renowned advisor on technology and business, William Magota, he says it's soon to be, is it on the blockchain? You know, it's no longer, is it on the internet? It's no longer, do you have a website? Okay, are you on social media? It's going to be, are you on the blockchain? So that is where our conversation, or rather that is what's going to drive our conversation today. Last week we spoke with Chuta Chimezie. Chuta Chimezie is one of the foremost pioneers of blockchain technology in Nigeria, you know, I dare say Africa. You know, he was here with us. He flew in all the way from Abuja and had to do a very what's that word now? Is he F1 racing from Ikeja Airport to reach meet us here in the studio? And he got That's here, right. You know, 6 minutes into the show, and it was really brilliant. And today we have another beautiful conversation for you, and we're going to be talking about integrating blockchain in traditional banking.
That's right. Last week, Chuta Chimezie, who's the founder and coordinator of Blockchain Nigeria, a user group, spoke about the possibilities of adopting blockchain technology. And one of the things he said was that if banks wouldn't, you know, key into this technology, unfortunately, they may have to, you know, just be wiped away like the great flood that happened.
Well, you know, that statement is still there.
That stuck with me.
It's still there. You know, it's still there because, you know, things have not really changed.
Exactly. And then I had to ask him an important question. What would happen to traditional bankers if blockchain becomes, you know, the main thing?
Yeah.
Exactly. What happens to traditional bankers? Mm. But stay with us because we have a traditional banker with us in the studio to tell us about that, to talk to us, to give us, you know, some sort of... I'm sure that is
so answer
to...
all our questions.
Exactly.
You know, and give us more insight as to, you know, the future of traditional banking now that we have blockchain technology, now that we have digital banking all over the place. We have fintechs, you know. Almost every minute or every day you see one fintech company spring up, you know, one startup spring up, and they're well funded, so they can literally do anything, and they're really giving them I dare say a run for their money. So we have a banker who is here with us right here in the studio with over 18 years of experience you know, in banking, and he's joining us this morning, Mr. Usifu Ugbebo. Thank you for joining us this morning. Please say that again.
Thank you for having me.
Usifu, yes. Well, you're my kinsman.
Absolutely.
You're my kins. I'm so excited.
Absolutely.
Please don't do parakpo in this video.
We must do parakpo here.
Okay.
The parakpo is blockchain.
Exactly. The parakpo is blockchain indeed.
Okay. So, welcome to the show, Mr.
Welcome Zivo. To Digital Life.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. And it's a good opportunity to be here. Digital life is actually the life to live, actually, and it's the life of the future. So it's very good to identify with this program. And indeed, Nigerian Info has always been the premium talk station in this country. So this is Digital Talk.
Where is my shekere?
So quite a lot of... commendation for your team.
Thank you very much.
Lagos, did you hear that? If you snooze on Digital Life, you lose on Digital Life. So, Mr. Ogbebo, there's this perception that banks are scared of disruptive technology. That is blockchain. Is it true? Are banks really scared?
All right, okay. Before talking about the scare or not, I'd like to just talk about generally what the blockchain technology is.
Adjust the mic because
a banker is set to school us on blockchain technology.
That's good. I love it. Go ahead, please.
First of all, one very famous banker that I know that I draw a lot of inspiration from once said that technology, if you don't make technology your friend, technology will become your gross enemy and would actually lead to your extinction sometime in the future. So blockchain is actually some technology that syncs financial information in blocks, putting it literally, and then linking them together. So it's a system that actually puts records together and shares them pair to pair in the form of what is called a distributed ledger system, such that all participants in the transaction see through from end to end. And the scare comes in without the involvement of a go-between or an intermediary or a bank or a stock exchange. So that's what makes it very interesting.
Okay.
Blockchain technology comes with some very major characteristics. Number one is it's programmable. It enables participants to have smart contracts amongst each other. So you have an X item. I want to buy the X item. I go across to you and I buy right there. on the blockchain. So it's programmable and I don't need a go-between. It's also considered to be very, very secure. Each pocket of the transaction is encrypted. So there's no risk of loss of value in terms of having one block to the other, moving value from one block to the other. Now, the interesting part, which makes it a bit of a concern for us traditionalists, is the fact that the blockchain technology participants are anonymous. They are totally anonymous. They can't be pinned down deliberately. They can choose to be anonymous or indeed pseudonymous to have a transient identity.
So that's the concern.
That's the concern. Because for traditional banking, you have to
move closer to the mic.
You can adjust the mic so that you can hear you very well.
So what's very important in traditional banking is the fact that there's a huge requirement for knowing your customer. Your identity is crucial. So you know your customer, you know your customer's business, and you know the end-to-end of your customer. So the anonymity involved in blockchain technology is where there's a bit of a challenge. But it's not a showstopper, if you ask me. It's actually a request for more work to be done to secure it and build some sort of risk management framework around it to block all the loose ends and be sure that it's watertight.
But you know that some of these blockchain technologies actually do KYC, know your customer. In fact, I'm on one blockchain and I just did my KYC last week. So is that really a scare? Because, I mean, if blockchain technologies are already incorporating KYC, then it doesn't really sound like a scare anymore.
It's actually interesting that at the onboarding stage, the KYC is done. But when the anonymity comes, it's where you are doing transaction from X to Y.
Okay.
X doesn't know who Y is. Y doesn't know who X is. Doesn't necessarily have to know, as a matter of fact. And that's the agenda they are pushing forward, actually. We've had cases where there have been internet breaches and compromises of various platforms offshore, where there have been hacks. And the means of settlement of such payments came through the blockchain. For clear anonymity. And a major thing to mention now is that a major component running on this distributed ledger system is the big elephant in the room, cryptocurrency. Cryptocurrency now has become a means of exchange of value from pair to pair on a distributed ledger system. It's immutable. It's distributed, everybody can see what's happening. It's open for everybody to see, and it's considered to be very, very safe. It also has a time-stamped component. So if I do a transaction with Emmanuel today, it says that Mr. X did a transaction with Emmanuel at 11:10 or 11:13 a.m. today, and it's sealed and it's stamped. So the traditional time stamping that we do in our banking halls usually is already taken care of on the blockchain. So I'll go back to the original question. Are banks scared of blockchain? The answer is a no.
Okay.
What the agenda that has been pushed industry-wide, and this is global, is actually the agenda for collaboration. Collaboration and actually integrating with the system of blockchain technologies to ensure that we're able to imbibe them into the system, provide all the safeguards that we need to provide the level of reasonable assurance that transactions going through the chain would actually be secure or be end-to-end fully protected. Once that is achieved, and we can name some banks globally today.
Okay. Let's talk about, let's talk about fintechs, right? Because fintechs so far, for some years now, have posed the biggest competition to traditional banks. So what then is the mindset of traditional banks about when it comes to financial technology, these fintech startups?
Yet again, another interesting outcome. First of all, let me start by saying that as a country, we are proud to identify some two major unicorns, global unicorns that have come out of Nigeria today, which are fintechs. I would hate to mention names because they haven't paid us for any advance.
Exactly, they've not paid. As the businessman that you are, you know.
So we do know that there are two major fintechs today that are unicorns. Being unicorns means they can attract seed capital from offshore, from Silicon Valley investors that can push their frontiers. What are they able to do today? They are able to ensure smooth transactions processing peer-to-peer for payments and receipts of collections across the world, across the web. Now, what they are doing currently is trying to close the gap that exists in the system today, especially on the peer-to-peer basis. Certainly there are gaps. And the thing about value is once you see a gap, you provide a solution, you extract value from that solution you have created. So it's also collaboration. As an economy today, talking from the standpoint of the Nigerian economy, you can't really operate without the support of a traditional bank. So you still have to have some sort of clearing arrangement with them, an arrangement to sort out your transactions with them while you are doing the aggregation and financial termination on your platform. All of that still needs to funnel through the Nigerian financial system, even as a fintech. So it's collaboration.
So what's a form? Because on Thursday, I was at a function, you know, I was at an event where we had this conversation about fintech, you know, and we talked about regulation. Regulation is a very key thing. Mm-hmm. And I guess that is where you're coming from right now, because you just said that they can't work on their own in isolation. They have to be a collaboration between them and traditional banking. Banks. So there needs to be some form of modus operandi, some form of way in which they're meant to work, the way in which it's meant to function. So what are some of these regulations that you hope to see or that you think can actually make this collaboration work?
I think that's pretty straightforward. I know some work is currently going on in the industry and also with our regulatory authority today, where they are putting together a framework that would guide the operations of all of these fintechs. And a major area of concern is the onboarding process. The process of onboarding participants onto the platform is very key. The integrity of the transactions that go on the platform is also very crucial. The ability to use the platform for unethical practices like money laundering, like terrorist financing, all of those little loose ends need to be tightened up. And I'm aware currently there's some work that is going on in that area. And I'm sure very soon the regulatory authorities will come out with a clear position as to what the regulation is. Today, what cannot be understood cannot be regulated. So there's a process, there's also a learning curve going on to understand the process end to end and to also know that you can put some systematic checkmates here and there to ensure that everything that is going through the platform is indeed of high integrity and you can hold your own globally on the global system.
You just said something now that really struck me. You see, when you came on the show, you are into traditional banking. I didn't expect you to have that knowledge of blockchain.
Indeed.
Do you understand? Because, you know, at that event, one thing we found out, we had the representative of the government, you know, obviously, who had some form of knowledge, you know, of the blockchain, of how the what the blockchain is all about and how it works, you know, but not the way you're presenting it right now. You see, you were not, you know, you were not fidgeting or anything talking about the blockchain. It's something that you know offhand, you know. The learning process, we found out that day that these people are just waiting to do the regulation, ready to pass the policies, ready to just clamp down, which most of the fintech startup firms are seen as a way to stifle them. You know, because these people have been able to do things literally on their own without any form of government assistance. They've just learned and executed and they've made it, you know, this big. And then you come talking about regulation and then you don't want to, so to speak, you know, really learn the basics of what the blockchain system is all about. You're just like, they see it as a form of
stifle
and clamp down on them. So what do you think the regulators need to do, you know, with this whole thing? Because there's a whole lingering in between. There's a whole big gap between the fintech startups and regulators.
Absolutely. I think the challenge there is it's a mindset challenge. People see regulation as a disturbance of the business. Regulation is actually supposed to be an enabler of the business. Regulation is saying, we'd like to let you do these transactions and do them in the safest, best, and most equitable way to all parties involved. Remember that regulators don't have a part to play in the transactions. They are just onlookers. At best, they are umpires. They are saying, we want to create a framework that will protect the interest of all the participants on this platform and ensure that everything you do is in compliance with our existing laws and principles. Not to stifle the business, not to slow them down, not to make them not to innovate, is actually to help them innovate with the right kind of support and the right kind of atmosphere that a proper risk management structure would present for. You would notice today that a lot of fintechs had some teething problems and challenges, and all of those challenges was around the risk management framework that they had. There was quite a lot of stuff going on, a lot of which it might not be radio friendly, but all of those are coming through the fact that the openness of the system and the non-regulation of the system itself portends a risk to the business itself. So I usually advise my friends that are fintech owners and inventors to say, collaborate with regulators, collaborate with other banks. The sky is wide enough for all parties to take full charge. So my thing is, a disposition to regulation is a disposition of collaboration, of support, of providing the right kind of basis on which our transactions can go through.
Lagos, if you've just tuned in, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Digital Life on 99.3 Nigeria Info. We're talking about blockchain and the future of traditional banking. Okay? And we have with us in the studio Mr. Osifo Ogbebo. He is a seasoned banker. He's done this for more than a decade. In fact, for almost two decades. If you have questions you'd like to ask him, you can call us on 0700-993-993. I see the phone line's buzzing already, but I'm still going to call out the numbers again. 0700-993-993-993. You can also call us on 01465-7190. For instance, for now, we cannot take messages on WhatsApp, but you can send us a message on Instagram at Digital Life Africa.
Yes.
Just find Digital Life Africa on Instagram and send your messages there. Send us a DM. We'll respond to the message. We'll take your questions. Hello. Okay, I'm sorry. 0700-993-993-993. Also 01465-7190. Hello.
Hello.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the show. Turn down the volume of your radio set, please.
Okay, my name is Jeff. I'm calling from Apapa. I thoroughly enjoy the analysis. And I know the person that is analyzing the blockchain technology vis-a-vis traditional banking.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm even surprised that he has this wealth of knowledge. I just want to thank him for the information is passed, and he's actually a colleague.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Hello. Oh, I'm sorry. Call back if you can. 0700-993-993-993. Also, 01465-7190. Hello.
Hello. Morning.
Morning. Welcome to the show. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Okay, my name is Prince. I'm calling from Ikeja presently.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, okay, I quite enjoyed the guest in the studio. He actually analyzed it very well. I currently work in one of the financial institutions, and I work with fintech also, like two fintech with various over the decade experience. And I would like to speak more on the regulatory part, which he mentioned.
Okay, go ahead.
As somebody who has said compliance and the audit and the IT audit of some of these banks or financial institutions and so on, I would say that one of the challenges I see with fintech people is that there is this mindset that I don't need government to do this particular business. There is this mindset that it's a financial, it's internet, it's an era of financial technology. I can just open something and do it online without regulators being aware or looking into it. Not knowing that these are depositors' money. We are talking about money for citizens. And one of the duty of government is to protect citizens from undue advantage from people who operate business everywhere. So I see a lot of them. In fact, I have to resign from one at the board meeting. They are waving a lot of things. Don't worry, we'll pay the fine. You know, some of them, they measure the regulatory fine that they are going to pay with government to how they can circumvent to make sure that they go ahead on some particular processes or products. When you tell them that this thing have a buffering effect, they might not listen. At least one of them is under supervision with CBN now. I doubt they can even come out of it, a popular one like that. So I think many of them need, they need people who are versed in compliance and regulatory issues at the top level that will tell them face to face that don't do this. If you do this, this is the repercussion. Because these are the depositors' money, and government need to protect people's money so that somebody will just move in with the briefcase, with their portfolio, they just say they are coming, and they've left Nigeria, and government can't find them, and the money has gone. Just like what we have in these people who lost money in the Forex and other stuff. So I think I like the idea of the regulatory parties. They need to liaise with regulator. In fact, that processes that I've involved in one of the sessions with CBN where we presented a lot of things, and they accepted part of this, those regulations which they are working on. I think a lot of regulations are coming up with CBN.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling. Hello. Sorry, call back if you can. 0700-993-993-993. Hello.
Hello, can you hear us? Hello.
When you call, please focus, okay? Don't lose focus. When you call, focus. Don't call us and then go and look for how to fry plantain or fry dodo or boy beans.
But I think the last caller makes a good point.
Yes.
It's a very good point. We know what has just happened to two of our major fintechs in Kenya. You know, the whole idea is being a fintech and running a blockchain gives you an opportunity to provide an ecosystem that is cross-border.
Exactly.
It doesn't know any destination. It's just global.
Yeah.
So there's a likelihood to underestimate the requirement to also localize your authorizations within those countries. So it's important that even though you are global and you have an ecosystem that knows no boundaries, it's also important to domesticate your services within those various territories where you operate, which is a challenge that's going on in Kenya today. But I'm sure it will be resolved. But just to say that, yes, it's a global service, yes, you're able to do cross-border termination of payments, but the participants in that transactions belong to a sovereign nation and belong to a territory. So you must get some sort of licensing and authorization from that territory to be able to operate through.
Okay, but if we're looking at this very well, there are some countries that the regulation is not that much. You know, there are some persons that have actually gone out of Nigeria to just go establish somewhere else because they feel that, oh, Nigeria government stifled those things. And you are aware of, you know, the ongoing let me call it beef between youths and the federal government. And we know that blockchain technology is actually being propagated, being pushed by the youth. So I think those are some of the things that are really coming in between and creating that gap between the regulators and these founders.
Absolutely.
Okay, and I have one question before we go back to the phone lines that are still buzzing. Now that blockchain is here to stay, right? What do you think is the future of traditional banks in, say, 10 years from now?
Oh, traditional banks.
Because you did, beg your pardon, because you did mention the collaboration. But then what if these blockchain companies not come up with their own, you know, blockchain...
Self-regulate
themselves. Or maybe just come up with another platform. Hold on. Come up with a platform to practically do what traditional banks are currently doing. What then becomes the future of, you know, traditional bankers in, say, 10 years?
First of all, 10 years is a very short time.
Very short.
I'm subjecting much further than that.
Okay, maybe 30
okay,
years.
That's fine. So interestingly, the financial services sector, not just in Nigeria, but globally, is almost integrated, fully integrated. Be you on the fintech side, be you on the crypto side, it's a matter of value transferring from one person to the other. You know, traditional banking, what is it? You take monies from areas of excess, provide it in the areas where they are needed for funding, and you take a spread in the middle. That's basically what banking is. It's not beyond that. Now, so with the emergence of blockchain technology, the banks today are also re-engineering themselves, embracing the technology, and also transiting into becoming blockchain technology practitioners themselves. So there's no extinction coming in anywhere.
Okay.
The business will just mutate itself to become a blockchain driven business over the next couple of years. So trust you, we are all not going to be unemployed.
But some of the banks are yet to perfect their services at present.
Currently, you know, we're talking about blockchain.
And we're talking about blockchain.
I mean, there's still problems with their apps.
You know, moving into that one. We still have issues.
Glitches and stuff.
That's the interesting thing about blockchain. Blockchain would actually fix some of those service challenges that you see in traditional banks today. For example, the issues of dispense errors and on credited transactions does not exist on the blockchain, because each item is standing on its own on the blockchain. And once you move a transaction from point A to point B, there's no unresolved transactions on the blockchain.
Wow.
Absolutely. So there's no reconciliation. It's self-reconciling. As you are transacting, it's reconciling. So it's very exciting, but it needs to be regulated properly, and it needs to be tailored in a way that it doesn't breach any existing protocols.
My wow is not because I don't know these things you're saying. My wow is that it's coming from a banker.
Usifo Ogbebo is a seasoned banker with more than 15 years of banking experience, and he's talking to us
about blockchain
Lagos. Are you having a good time? 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190 are the numbers to call. You can leave us a message on Digital Life Africa on Instagram. Hello. Yeah. Oh, Rishi. Hello.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Hi, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Yes, good morning. This is Shedra from Surulere.
Shedra, go ahead.
Yes, it's quite interesting to have Anka in the studio here giving us very good knowledge of blockchain. I'm also involved in blockchain as it were.
Okay.
And I'm very, very happy that yeah, having more information concerning the operation of blockchains. But one thing I want to say is that this fintech issue, I've had somebody who had an experience with them after promises of, lifting up from one level to another. He tried it three times, followed all the rules, met their demands, but when he got to the time when he was supposed to elevate him, suddenly they stopped offering him the loan, you know. So I wonder why, they're into all this sort of nonsense. I think the blockchain has come to stay. Somehow, it's going to overtake fintech as far as I'm concerned. Thank you so much, my brother.
Thank you so much for calling.
Hello. Hello, can you hear us?
Yeah, hello.
Yeah, good morning. Welcome to Digital Life.
Hello?
Yes, good morning. Welcome.
Yeah, good morning, man.
Yes, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yeah, this is Samuel from Badari. Yvonne, good morning.
Good morning to you. Welcome, Samuel.
Yeah, to our guest, good morning.
Good morning, thank you.
Yeah, very well. I appreciate you this morning because I'm visually impaired, but I'm into blockchain.
Wow.
And do you know what interests me in blockchain? When I do my transaction on blockchain from peer to peer, from someone to another, from one wallet to another, the single of seconds, PM is done. But in our conventional bank, some will fail, you will transact it, they will deduct your money, it's all set up, I don't understand. So can our conventional banks perfect their system as that of a blockchain and cryptocurrency wallet?
Well, if you've been following the conversation,
interesting question, but our guest did answer that question.
Yeah.
Just in case he just tuned in, I didn't quite get that.
Absolutely. The direction that he's headed is actually where we are all going, of collaborating and actually imbibing some of the major tenets of blockchain technology into traditional banking to improve the efficiency of the system and also drive into the future where there's no boundary to what we can achieve, all within the right framework of control and proper risk management.
Great. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Please, I am Esther.
Okay.
Madam Esther.
Now, I'm calling from Ikorodu.
Okay.
I have an experience with the traditional banking.
Okay.
Each time I receive any credit alert, they will remove 150, 120, 100 naira, just like that, without any description. It will not be described. I will not know why they removed it. In the banking that I know, I'm a professional banker. I'm a banker by profession.
Okay.
Before I left the bank, I'm elderly now. But what I know is that it should be described. Let me know why you are debiting my account. They have been doing this, no explanation. Please may I know the reason for all this debit. Anytime I collect money, that is credit alert, they will remove 150, 120, 100. Where is it coming from?
Esther, thank you so much for calling. I'm sure Mr. Ogbebo will answer that question right after we take this other call. Hello.
Okay, sir. Can you answer the question? Madam Esther's question.
Absolutely. I think transaction narration is a big challenge that has been in the system for a while. And you can look at it from the point of view of being a system challenge. People need to know what they are paying for. People need to know what their transaction history is like, not just for today, but for them wanting to review the account in 5 years' time. They need to know what XYZ went out of their account. But to mention, what usually happens is at any point in time when a credit transaction goes into an account, there is a fee, there is a statutory fee that goes to regulatory authorities today. It's called the stamp duty charge.
Okay.
The stamp duty charge is actually 50 naira per transaction. So if in a total month you did cumulative credit of about 3 credits, you end up with 150. That's usually the most usual suspect that comes when it comes to charges like this. But what the caller's point is, it should be properly narrated. And I totally agree with her. The bank owes the responsibility to properly analyze entries into the bank statement such that it's easy to reconcile and then be able to understand.
0700 993 993 993. Go ahead, Emmanuel.
Okay, so that was one of the things that, you know, the fintech companies are selling. That is their selling point to a lot more persons. You know, the digital banking. They tell them there's no stamp duty. You don't pay in betweens. There's no in betweens. You're not paying to anybody. You're just doing a transaction between two persons. So it goes to say, okay, how do these people make their money? You know, and now we're having like one of the foremost digital banks that will not, you know, put their name out there, have actually just began, you know, collecting 50 naira stamp duty. You know, so does it mean that this bank now I feel the bank has been regulated, and that is why that is coming in place. And this is what some of the people, some of these fintech companies are actually selling to their customers. So if the regulation come in, this 50 naira stamp duty is going to come back, making the banking whole thing just look like the same traditional banking system again.
I guess what brings that up is the exigency of the moment. You know, when you come in newly into a business, you want to get as much of a push as possible, so you can waive everything. You can waive everything. We've had institutions in this country today that said, instead of paying COT, we will pay you COT. We've had such cases. So it's a question of market penetration. And then the question you ask about, how do they make money? Because the truth is, no fintech is in the business for the fun of it.
Yeah.
They are in there to make money.
Yeah.
So they do payments, they terminate payments, they do a co-share from the transactional fees that happen, not necessarily your stamp duty charge, but there are various other transactional fees which they also earn a share from. So there's money to be made there. But are they willing to waive things like stamp duty charge? The answer is yes, and they take it as at some point. But when they stabilize, most likely they'll see the gap in their P&L, and they'll most likely embrace it, as long as it's legal, it's approved by the regulatory authorities, and it's properly narrated to the customers. I think it should be fine.
Okay, for the sake of some of us who are not in the banking sector, kindly explain what P&L is. Thank you very much.
The P&L for any business, not just any bank, is a profit and loss statement.
Okay, that makes
shows
sense
the
now.
Profit and the loss.
Okay.
This is the cost of my doing the business. This is my profit coming out of the business.
Okay.
That's what the P&L is.
Okay, hello.
Hello, can you hear us?
Hello.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, welcome to the show.
I'm calling because I just have a first-time caller, Benga from Yaba.
Oh, Benga,
Shekere for you.
Hi there. I'm calling because I think the speaker is well-spoken and covers the traditional banking's perspective quite well. However, I think it's when you see a technology that threatens the incumbents tend to react. Part of the way they react is with legislation.
Exactly.
So because they actually control the legislative process to a large extent. The CBN governor is a former banker. All is known as traditional banking. So the lenses they have are the lenses of traditional bankers. Now, when you got really disruptive technology, for example, the biggest advertisers today are no longer the television channels. They are Facebook and Google and the likes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In Kenya, the example they use in Kenya, the biggest player in terms of transactions, mainly for the unbanked, even for the banks, is M-Pesa, a telecoms company. Mm-hmm. Those guys and the traditional bankers today in Nigeria don't want to see anything like that happen. So they will try and use legislation. But at the end of the day, when the significant value being created, when like one of the callers mentioned, instant transaction, you can know it from my wallet to your wallet. I don't need a bank. Basically, it's from me to you. The bank there is not adding much value. So if these new companies, I mean, they have valuations today that are even bigger than the biggest Nigerian banks, Nigerian fintechs. Hmm. So if they can deliver on the significant value to the population, we still have massive percentage of our country that's unbanked. I think they have the traditional banks are scared, and they really have something to worry about because they might be relevant in the not too distant future. Just the way television is actually relatively irrelevant when it comes to how we get our content today.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you so much, Benga.
You actually nailed it.
You did mention television. I don't have a television at home. Honestly, I do not because everything I do on my phone.
Your phone.
Exactly.
You see, everyone, the mindset out there is that the traditional banks are scared and the regulators are also scared about, you know, the emerging technology, disruptive technology, and they feel that they will be irrelevant. So the only way they can do it is just hit down hard on these fintech startups, hit down hard on what they're doing. You see, the whole thing is out there. This is not coming from us now. This is not coming from what we picked up online. This is coming from a caller that is into the whole thing. So it goes back to the very first question we asked you. Are the traditional banks scared?
All right, thank you. I'll take this response from a global point of view. Mm-hmm. Sometime a few years ago, there was what they call the crypto boom on Wall Street in New York.
Okay.
Now, the crypto boom was such when this blockchain technology all started and the cryptocurrency came up and it became a craze on the streets of Wall Street. But the banks, even in the U.S., wasn't a case of being scared or pushing back. It was a case of embracing them. I'm aware today, without having to mention names, three major global banks today have set up research teams that are researching into how this can be properly ring-fenced into the traditional banking system, mm-hmm. achieving the goals of the blockchain technology itself within the confines of a properly regulated and guided system. Regulation is not a sign of being afraid. A regulation is saying, let's do it properly. Mm-hmm. Regulation is saying, this is interesting. What are the safeguards? What's the fallback position? If this happens, what do we do on this other side? Leaving it just open-ended and all in disguise, it's some cause for concern. And the reason for that is the transactional values are huge. The stock in trade are depositors' funds. Funds that have been put in your care by depositors for which you owe a fiduciary duty to ensure that no loss happens there. So that's crucial. Now, if it's just all out there and it's not regulated in any way, it becomes a challenge. So what traditional banks, and I don't think we should be calling them traditional banks anymore. What collaborative banks?
Okay.
Because when you start to say traditional banks, you almost start to make one feel like a traditional doctor.
Okay, go ahead.
What collaborative banks are saying offshore and in Nigeria is saying we'd like to work together, we'll set up engagements. We've even engaged a lot of the fintechs to be on boards and committees to review ways of integrating our services together. Because at the end of the day, what matters here is the customer being served. How does the customer want to be served? How fast can the customer be served? How most efficiently can the customer be served? If it requires a collaboration between both parties and over the years becoming all one at one, that's what is going to happen. It's not a question of anybody going extinct or anybody being scared. I think it's just a way of accommodating each other within the same landscape. Because the truth is, if the existing banks were providing this kind of speed of services without charges and all of those, there would be no room to fit into with the new entrants. So it's collaboration, and I think it's a case of understanding all the players in the market and then be able to integrate properly on the column.
Lagos, we cannot take more calls. It is 11:44 on the clock. We have our other guests waiting for us at the reception. Hopefully, we'll have this conversation again and bring back Mr. Ogbebo to answer some of your questions. Phone lines are still buzzing, but Lagos, we have to go on that now.
Yeah, you can also drop your questions on our Instagram page at Digital Life Africa, and we'll take your questions and we can forward them to Mr. Ogbebo to give you the answer that you need.
That's right. We just opened Digital Life Africa on Instagram. It's a page where we're trying to build a community to, you know, just sort of get like-minded tech heads to share their thoughts and, of course, just share upcoming events. So you can follow that page to know what Digital Life is all about and what we're going to do in the future. Mr. Ogbebo, thank you so much for joining us today on the show.
Thank you.
You blew our minds, especially with the whole blockchain.
Knowledge on blockchain.
I did not see that one coming.
Exactly.
I did not see that coming. Thank you so much. We look forward
to having
you
very much, folks.
More
thank
of you,
you
on
thank
the
you.
Show.
Thank you.
So
it's been
much.
A pleasure being here. Thank
That's
you
right.
So much.
We'll take a few pictures and then we'll introduce our next guest. Lagos, stay with us. This is Digital Life. On Nigeria Info, I'm Yvonne Ohaifo, and he
is Emmanuel Onwuka.
Don't go anywhere.
This is Digital Life.
The mandate of the Bureau is to implement the Nigeria Data Protection Regulation.
How do you ensure that third-party places that are not the individuals who registered cannot access that information?
Somebody going out to take a loan from a company, and then you don't read the details.
Inventors and inventions.
John, Emmanuel says you designed the phone you're using at the moment. Is that true?
Yes, that's true. I designed a phone called Mi 40 Pro. 512 GB internal memory and then 12 GB RAM.
Wow.
Heads and data.
And there are some applications when you are making use of them, they will tell you for permission access to your phone. Some of these applications actually record your voice conversations. It's also part of their terms and conditions.
Join us on Digital Life every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 12 noon, only on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.